All right. Sorry. Good morning. I don't know too many of you, but my name is Pastor Todd Ullman. I'm the pastor in St. Louis, Missouri. Professor Rhyme refused to introduce me. I don't know what that means exactly, but it's a privilege for me to be here this morning. Let's bow our heads and let's ask the Lord's blessing on our short time together in the Word. Well, Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being your children, that you have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of our Savior Jesus. And we pray that you would be with us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your word, to recognize our need for a Savior because of our sin, and to rejoice in the forgiveness that he won for us on the cross. Be with us and bless us this morning as we gather around your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would assume maybe most of you, probably all of you, know about the figure of speech called an oxymoron. It's a figure of speech that seemingly self-contradicts things like cruel kindness or hurry up and slow down. Well, there's an oxymoron I want to discuss this morning. It's called united diversity. And it's an oxymoron because united means to be in harmony or to be agreed upon something or have similar interests. But, of course, diversity means to be distinctly different or dissimilar or unlike. Probably the most common example of united diversity is a sports team, right? Take baseball, for instance. You've got several individuals on a team, and they've got a diversity of gifts and talents, and they might even get on the field with different goals. You know, the big hitter on the team's definitely got a different goal with that game than the star pitcher. In fact, two pitchers might have two different individual goals. You know, the starter versus the closer is going to have different goals in how they pitch their game, but they're united, right, for one purpose, and that's to score more runs than the team in the other dugout. Well, this very concept of united diversity is what the Apostle Paul talks about in pretty much the whole 12th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians. And I want to read just a few of those verses from that chapter, and I'd encourage you maybe to read the whole chapter on your own later today, but we'll read. Paul says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different in ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. A few verses later, he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And a few verses later, he says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, or not many members, yet one, or there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." Now Paul uses this concept of united diversity not to talk about a sports team, but he's talking about what? The Holy Christian Church. And when we think of unity, first of all, we need to, of course, focus on the type of unity that the Lord wants us to have. And of course, we share that unity here, don't we? Unity of doctrine, unity of faith, based upon the truth of God's Word and what He has revealed to us through the Word. And I think we need to remember what a great blessing that unity is. You know, we live in a world that says it doesn't matter what you believe, just go off on your own. We live in a world that says you can have your truth and I'll have my truth and let's just get along. And we live in a world that says that the best way to create unity is actually to compromise on our beliefs. Well, where's the unity when there really is no unity? Now, Paul's talking about the Holy Christian Church, but we narrow it down a little bit and we think about the unity that we share within our church body. And what an amazing thing that is, and what a wonderful gift that is that the Lord gives to us. I don't know where everybody comes, but I know we come from all over the United States. We've got different families, different cultures, different sports teams that we root for, things along those lines. We're men, we're women, we're boys, we're girls, and all kinds of different backgrounds, but yet you've come here because your parents or you yourself know of how important it is that we share this unity of faith, and what a gift it is. I've met people and you know, from all over the world, and it amazes me when I see this unity of faith and doctrine that the Lord has created, and it's something to be cherished. It's something to be nurtured, and that's a great blessing that the Lord has given you the opportunity to do right here at ILC. But Paul's talking also not only about the unity, but he's talking about the diversity of gifts that the Lord gives to us. He uses the human body as that analogy, and how brilliant is the Holy Spirit? What's the one thing that we all can look at and know that and compare to? It's our own human body. I mean, if you don't have a human body, you don't exist, right? So the Lord says, look at your own body. Look at your hand, look at your eye, look at your ears. Yeah, they're there, but without the rest of you, you're not a body. And he says the same thing about the gifts that the Lord has given to the church. He's talking about the body of Christ. And we could apply that to the whole Christian church. We can narrow it down, can't we, to the Church of the Lutheran Confession. We can narrow it down to the local congregation. We can narrow it down to the faculty here at ILC. We can narrow it down to the student body here at ILC. And what Paul is saying here is that if you are part of the body of Christ, and of course, thanks be to the Holy Spirit that He has convinced us of our own sin and our need for a Savior, and He's led us to rejoice in the forgiveness that we have in Christ through faith, and that makes us a part of the body of Christ. Paul is saying that you are a part, a very vital part of the body of Christ. Whatever gift, whatever talent, whatever specific area of ministry the Lord has blessed you in, that's for you to carry out in the body of Christ. It's for you to minister to the person sitting to the left, to the right, front, behind. It's for you to minister to your home congregation. Doesn't matter if how old you are, or how young you are, or man or woman, tall, short, it doesn't matter. God's given you a specific gift. Maybe He's made you a hand, maybe He's made you an eye or an ear or whatever it is, but the body's not going to function unless that part functions. You know, we're here at ILC, and of course one of the primary purposes of this campus is to train pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, but boy, that's not it. That's not all of it, is it? The vast majority of you will not become pastors and teachers in the CLC. Does that mean that as a part, as a member of the body of Christ, there's no purpose for you to serve? Absolutely not. Maybe you do have that gift. Maybe the Lord does want you to be a pastor or a teacher, and that's a wonderful thing. But maybe the Lord also wants you to be an encourager in your home congregation or to the person next to you. Maybe the Lord's given you the gift of comforting words for that family member who's lost a loved one. Or maybe the Lord has given you gifts that don't necessarily have to do with the mouth, but they have to do with these two things right here, your body and itself. Maybe you're going to swing a hammer. Maybe you're going to pound that final nail on the steeple of your church that's going to show everyone in the community that this is the place where Christ crucified is proclaimed. Maybe you're going to play your trumpet or the piano or the organ at a funeral, and those family members of the loved ones or the loved one that's passed away is going to be comforted and encouraged as they sing along to the notes you're playing. Maybe you're going to be a cook here at ILC. Maybe you're going to mow the lawn at church. Maybe you're going to be a mother or a father who looks at his children and recognizes them as the gift that they are from the Lord, and you spend your time bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Maybe you're going to graduate from high school here and you're going to go on to college, and you're going to be that quiet, calm kid that doesn't go along with the crowd, and other people are going to see that and say, wow, something different. I need to find out about that. bottom line is we are blessed with many, many different gifts, and the Lord has given those to you for use in His kingdom. I remember one of the things that has stuck with me, along with a lot of other things from my days at ILC, but Professor David Lau, who I consider one of my heroes of the faith, I was ready to quit seminary one day because I just couldn't get the Hebrew and other things. And I went and talked to him, or I think he came and talked to me, and he said, Todd, you have gifts that the Lord has not given to me, and He wants you to use those in His kingdom. And that stuck with me. Sorry we're out of time. I was told by someone this week that if I didn't tell a story from the foreign mission fields, I was going to be in trouble. So I'm going to shorten it down. I was thinking about some of the people with varying gifts in the kingdom of God that I've met over the years, and I've met a lot. And some of the people that I admire the most are men and women that serve in our foreign fields in places like Nepal and India and different places in Africa. And to my shame, the man I want to tell you about, I don't know his name. I can't tell you what village he lives in, and I can't tell you what the name of his church is. I can't even tell you the name of his pastor. But one day we were driving all day long, this was a number of years ago. Pastor Koenig went one direction and I went another. It was before we had a second foreign missionary in India. And long, hot day. I had a headache. I was ready to be done. We were visiting one more congregation. I had my head back on the seat, and we stopped one more time in what seemed like an endless amount of stops that day. And we had turned off at some point off of the paved road. We had turned on to a dirt road that was worse than the paved road that was full of potholes. And finally, we were almost there, they told me, and I kind of opened my eyes because we were stopped. And I looked out over the rice paddies, and you could see a little village congregation there, the typical mud walls and the thatched roof. And I thought, we're almost there. And we sat and heard the pastors out there chatting away, and I think it was Telugu. Getting a little irritated because it's been a long day and I've got a headache. And finally, I get out to see what's going on. And here's what I see. There's a man. At some point in his life, he's had his legs amputated from, just below the hips. He's on a square board with wheels underneath. And he has a saucer sled. Well, I don't think it was a sled, but it was an instrument that he used to carry dirt back and forth. And he had a short shovel with a handle on top that he would use to scoop dirt and sand onto this little saucer. He was dragging that thing down into the ditch, filling it with dirt, bringing it back up onto the road and filling this huge pothole that our little ambassador car wouldn't have been able to make it over. We had plenty of, it was an easy distance to walk, but this man wanted to make sure that the pastor and the missionary who came to visit could drive their car all the way up to the church. He spent, I don't know how many hours doing this, and he was about done when we got there. Man with no legs, big upper body, strong man, dragging dirt maybe 50 feet from one spot to another to fill the hole so the missionary and the pastor could come and proclaim the gospel in his village. Now I ask you, who was the servant of the Lord on that day? Who used his gifts to the glory of God? Let's close by singing the doxology. We can stand, can't we? Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for the many and varied gifts that You have given to Your church. We confess that too often we have despised these gifts and not use them the way you intend. And so we repent of those sins, Lord, and we rejoice that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live for us, to die for us, and to rise again for us. And by the faith that you have created in our hearts, you have bestowed his righteousness upon us. Lord, hear us and bless our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
God, for